I'm going back to Brainerd.
Oh, I don't think so. Going back to Brainerd, styling and fishing, boiling and smiling while in the sun. Bait shop worms on the down low. Bring them out walleye on the brain. But I'm thinking supper club, coleslaw, dinner roll.
All right, folks, welcome to the Muskie 360 podcast, a Jaybird. Have you hung your turkey by the fire with care? Is that what we're supposed to, you're going to be doing?
That's one of the holidays coming up, Steve.
The Minocqua choice of sacrifice is coming, I believe, right? Isn't that the other holiday you celebrate there where you guys choose a tribute?
Correct. The last couple of years it's been musky suckers, but this year it's gonna be a turkey.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, gotta sacrifice something, baby.
The quarter quell, if you will, folks.
Sure.
Goodness, Jay, what is going on around the shop other than frickin' it is not cold? I just talked to Josh Krieger. We'll talk to him in a second on the podcast. Oh. But it ain't cold yet, baby. Are people still rolling in? You seeing the best of the North Woods roll in? Some Illinois.
Yeah.
I know I'm hearing about big fish get caught. What are you hearing? What's the vibe? What's
yep.
the skinny?
Yeah,
baby?
Yeah. Sucker fishing's been really good. So, everything's still open, and everything will be open for a while. We got some colder weather coming towards Thanksgiving or later this next week, but it's not going to lock up lakes anytime soon.
No.
So, quite a few of the hardcore people still fishing and pretty happy about it. Getting a few fish. I haven't heard anything. I haven't heard reports from Friday. It was full moon and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't heard much.
Man, we had some. I was swinging the bat this week, and it was pretty interesting. I mean, it isn't. Said it last week. Say it again. Don't fish the calendar. Fish the conditions. Whatever.
Yeah.
It does, just because it says. What is it? Today is the 17th. I cannot believe it, Jerry.
17th, is it?
Yeah, okay. It's like freaking I woke up and it was June. Maybe it's just age. You go, what do you know? Going into it. You did say, I can't believe it, guys. I thought we had wrapped up the comings and the goings at the Muskie Shop.
Yeah.
But yet again, you got the Slammer 9-inch. I think you mentioned it last week, but there's a sign up on there now. So if you're a Slammer aficionado...
Yeah, this is a cool one. Yeah, I threw it. I trolled it quite a bit over the summer. Got mm-hmm. some protos now to use. So just got a video up today or yesterday on the 9-inch Slammer Minnow. Really cool wobble. I mean, the thing almost, it goes left to right while it's going side to side. It's like all Slammers, super tough.
Yeah.
Solid plastic, internal harness and everything like that. Tough as nails, and the key with this is it runs shallower than the 8-inch minnow and shallower than the 10-inch minnow, so hence the wobble is different. I think I call it a little bit more violent wobble.
He's got about every size.
Looks great.
Grenade. Yeah, it's just a staple. You can't go wrong. I'm sure it'll be just another staple in the arsenal for everybody there. What else? We did this, I believe. Yes, finally, because I finally got him. The Magnus. The photos are up now, boys. So pick your poison if you want to see what they look like. Got a little glitter in the white, little glitter in the black. Those are up. The Disco Shad, which is just devastating, is up there. So all the colors that are going to be available at launch are up on that bait, so you can check them out. I do recommend signing up for the release notification, which should be sent out. It's going to be after the first of the year, but...
Yep.
They're gonna be hot, Jay. It's gonna be hot.
That will be the hot bait this year.
Let's see here. I don't know if the illustrious lister of things did it here. We'll shortly have, I will remind one of the people here that lives in my house that we need to put the replacement tails up. So there's that. Hey, let me call you right back, Jay. We got somebody lined up for the show, baby. Oh, goodness, on the other line. Oh, you just beeped in. I was talking to Jay, and here we are. I'm talking to my good friend Cody Noggle. Oh, my goodness, man. We just fished together. We had some Donkey Kong action, didn't we, buddy?
Beautiful. Beautiful
animals. Everywhere was beautiful animals. They were animals. you know, in the net, out of the net, around the boat. We had a hoot there, man. Got to hit the water here. And interesting guy we're going to be able to kind of lean on here is a resource. You know, we're always hearing about Northwoods or Canada, all this stuff. You hear a little bit about the South from me. Cody's right there in central PA, man. Where are you fishing? What's going on? Like, kind of what's your range that you're kind of hitting that area?
Oh, pretty well from, if anybody's familiar with Middletown, where TMI is in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
Clear from there, clear up to the West Branch, all of the Juniata up to Racetown Lake. Clear to Williamsport. There's a big range there.
Yeah,
big water in the Susquehanna and tight water on the Juniata.
Yeah, and you ain't afraid to keep the tires hot. And you know, the water's
we got to keep them moving if we want to catch them.
What's kind of going on there right now? And I'm hearing from everybody. Obviously, you know, the Northwoods, it's warmer than usual. It's warmer than usual for me. Is that holding true where you're at?
Absolutely. It's warm, and we are in a drought. The waters are low.
Yeah. And you said, and what was the Juniatic?
That makes it tricky sometimes.
You said, like, what is it, Juniatic? You said it's just parts that are just way too low to even do anything in a jet, right?
You can't even launch the boat sometimes in some of the launches.
Yeah.
I mean, it's low, low.
Low.
But if you can get out, obviously they don't have anywhere to go. Like you said, they're not in the woods.
They ain't in the woods. And, you know, you and I were talking just on the boat here and gabbing about. We've been friends for a long time. And it's one of these deals where you know, Cody's obviously dialed in on pocket pools, eddies, you know, in shallow waters, they're going to take advantage of what depth they have in a system, you know, that's down when you're suffering from a drought like that. You know, do you find that they're packed even tighter if it's accessible?
If it's accessible, absolutely.
You know,
you better not spook them.
Right.
That's one thing I can say. You need to approach them correctly, and you need to be very tactile in what you do.
Right. Would it be?
Completely.
Because the water's, good.
It's so low, it's so clear, you don't.
And still?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Whenever our waters are low, it's still.
Well, yeah, comparison to you.
You've got to be very, very tactile on how you do it.
What,
and approach them.
Let's say let's take away the simply the drought stage, but you know, it's obviously going to vary all the time. Rivers have the tendency to do that, obviously. How are you trying to approach some of these holes or some of these slack water areas? What are you doing to kind of go in on stealth mode? Like, what's the process to get dialed in on that?
So, I know my eddies, I know my pockets pools, like you said,
right?
I'll sit there on the current seam to start.
Mm-hmm.
I'll sit there on the current seam on the flow of that river,
right,
where the main channel is. I'll sit there right on that current seam and just troll. Mm-hmm. Sit there and just stay in position. I will fish that current seam until I know nothing's happening, and then I'll hit the eddy.
Gotcha.
Okay. They're sitting there whenever that water's like that, and I mean, you can dang near see the bottom, and you could give them a high five sometimes if you wanted to.
Yeah, just net them.
You don't want to get in there too aggressively too quick.
Gotcha.
Now, exhaust that current seam, then move into the eddy. And you pointed it out multiple times before, saturation.
Yeah.
And you have to be low and slow because they are tucked to the bottom. There's
right.
nowhere else for them to go.
Right.
They're using one rock, two rocks out of that eddy, one down timber out of that eddy, and that's it. And you need to make some pretty dang good casts and retrieves to get a reaction.
Yeah.
Once you do that, it can be game over.
Yeah, that's.
I mean, it can get really good.
And something like that, you're talking about your approach and being stealthy about it and being smart about it. You know, shallow water is snaggy water, right? A lot
Absolutely.
Of times.
Absolutely.
What are you doing to minimize that? Like, are you buoyant? Like we talk on the podcast all the time, buoyant baits or changing stuff up? Is it spinner baits? Like, because
I mean,
in a system like that,
you want me to give up some baits that I'm using in,
well, you don't have
say
to
maybe 5 feet of water.
Go right ahead. But my only thought is this, though, is like, you know, you get and you and I, you know, we're throwing some nasty timber, and it's like, you know, if you get a bait stuck, it's like, we have to get this out in the tiniest of ways. because there's no, once we go in there, don't, and like, you know, it's like one of those things, if you get stuck, don't set the hook into it, don't drill it in, we need to just tippy tap it out, because you can't go surging in there and then restage on like a pocket pull or eddy and think, oh, he's going to eat now. No, you just blew the spot, you know. It
one
seems
thing
like
I
that
will
one.
Say, if you can, like you were saying, tippy tap it out of there,
yeah,
if you that's back to knowing what you're hitting.
Mm-hmm.
And it really helps to know what's down there.
Yeah.
Usually in these shallower waters, like I'm fishing, you can see what's there or scan what's there.
Yeah.
Whatever suits your fancy.
Yeah.
But you need to understand the difference between a rock, timber, and a fish.
Yeah.
You just, and that just takes, right. That just takes time on the water, and it is difficult.
Yeah. You got to feel it. Yeah. Absolutely.
Once you get that dialed in, you can start ticking and clicking rocks. I mean, that is money. Absolute money.
What's the kind of arsenal for that 5 foot, that skinny water?
So I'm still waiting on your Magnus. But
you got to throw one.
We'll get her. I'm not worried about it.
Yeah.
But a shallow swimming dog.
Mm-hmm.
And that has that belly wobble that'll attract them, and has just that action that's, for some reason, my fish love them.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll run a straight wire leader on that.
Mm-hmm.
I do not run a fluorocarbon.
Right.
And the reason I do that is because I'm kind of yo-yoing it and trying to keep it in position as long as I can for them to react to it and get a strike.
Gotcha. So, yeah,
now, if we're talking 5-6 feet, every now and then I'll put a 3/8 ounce split shot on the front of that leader right in front of that bait, or on the end of the leader right in front of the bait.
Mm-hmm.
Just to give it a little, it just gives it a little bit more belly wobble, gives a little bit more action, and you can get down there a little bit more and stay in their face.
Right, right.
But it's not inhibiting anything. It's actually, I think it is actually doing better for the bait, and my circumstance, at least.
Well, that's the thing, though. When you're dealing with actually the flow of a river, actually augments how a bait runs. You know, it's growing up,
absolutely.
Growing up fishing, you know, small rivers and creeks and streams, and you know, and you always, I mean, that's half the reason I just tweak the heck out of baits at this point, because you're going, well, yeah, that might work in a lake, but I need it to do X, Y, and Z.
You better keep that current in your favor.
Yeah, keep the current in your favor.
And that's back to positioning on the bottom of that eddy,
mm-hmm.
where I am on the current stream.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
And that's where you have to start.
Right, you can't, and it's one of those deals where you can't necessarily like cast past it and bring it up. The current is driving your baits up at times, you know, if it doesn't have a diving lip.
I mean, or even if you get a current, like, you don't know there's a current change going into the back of that eddy and you're sitting a little too low.
Mm-hmm.
Your bait screwed as soon as you hit that current.
Yeah, jams right at all. Yes.
If you're not set up right, I mean, yeah, you're going to be belly float. You're going to come up sideways, and you're going to be at the surface before you know it.
Right, and the bait just
might have had a follow or two, and you made the same cast 5 times. Well, there goes your shot.
Right, they're over it at that point. With that shallow water, are you throwing blades? Are you throwing spinner baits at all to crawl over stuff, or what other stuff? Or what do you focus
spinner
on?
Spinner baits more so like. After spawn, like after I know that they're active and spawn, after they're done spawning, after I know they're active again,
yeah,
and then pre-fall. I mean, obviously this year's weird.
It's a whole episode.
We're a month behind. It seems like, but
yeah, it's goofy.
I will definitely throw a meat grinder, or even a MEPS 8, a single 8. At night, I'll throw a double 8, and obviously they're staged a little differently in the evenings and at night, but
yeah.
I'll definitely try and get down there with the meat grinder whenever it's summertime and the water's like this too, because we went through this year, we had 2 major floods and it was low in between everything else.
Let me ask you this, just in that area, you know, Pennsylvania obviously has had muskies for eons, and when you see a flood stage come through, let me even preface it like this. Let's say you're dialed in the spring, right? Okay. This stretch of river tends to hold fish, and I'm having action in X, Y, and Z, whatever that might be, right?
Yep.
When a flood comes through, do you see this staging where they're at change, or do you know what I'm saying, in that environment?
No, not necessarily. Okay. The the eddies in the pools, they just get tighter because of the flow of current.
They just hunker down and so don't move. So
that eddy just gets tighter, even though the water's higher and it looks like there's a lot of stuff going on. That eddy's just tighter.
Okay. I just, because some systems.
You
got
to get deep into that eddy, and if you can keep your boat there, you're going to have luck.
You're going to have luck. I just asked because some systems, it's like, poof, they go away, and it's like, okay, it's almost like a complete reorganization of things. And that's
yes, you know, that does not happen with us.
Good.
That does not happen up here, and that is the one thing that I can lean on, kind of, mm-hmm. if I'm kind of confused or whatever. What's going on?
Yeah, right. Yeah, a flood just came. What do I do? You got
tuck tight.
Yeah,
you got tight into that eddy and just pick apart that eddy. And now, if you can keep your boat there.
Now, is it like for you twitch baits? Like, because I think shallow water, I think cranes, I think slammers, I think, you know, shallow raiders, you know, small twitch baits. Is that money where you're at, or what? Is there ever a time and place? Or
I love the shallow invader, right. Obviously.
Yeah,
I mean, great bait. Produced some of my biggest fish.
Right.
There is a time and a place, though.
Yeah.
I will run as deep as I can and try and take rocks on them eddies and whatever pools. If you got a big long straight. It's a half mile long.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole different ball game.
Right.
But that's 1 in 100.
Right, right.
I mean, you got to know where that's at, and that's already got the crap beat out of it this summer.
Right.
But I mean, a heavy glide bait right there to stick it in there.
Mm-hmm.
Or twitching a shallow invader, just something to keep it in their face as long as you possibly can.
Right.
And fight the current. Not even fight the current, but avoid the current.
And that's one of those things that for a lot of guys that don't, and a lot of, you know, upper Midwest guys just don't fish rivers. They simply don't. Where you go, the concept being different, there might be two muskies in a 5-foot wide area, and the fight is not about getting a follow because it's not going to happen. The fight is about getting them to come off the bottom and just smash it most of the time.
A reaction, putting it in right. The right place. I mean, that's all it is.
And I'm not a trout angler, but if you've ever fly fish for trout, here comes the fly over a rock and the trout comes up and grabs it and goes back down. That's how a lot of swift river muskies act.
I was thinking about this last night too. Yes. Basically, if you're in a shallow river or
mm-hmm.
narrow river, picture it in your head like a trout stream.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just scale it up.
Yeah. They're going to be sitting behind them. Most of us have fished trout. They're going to be sitting in the same place as a trout would if you just scale it up your mind.
The way I've fished trout, I don't know where I can get canned corn big enough for a muskie.
No, that's when we start using other things.
Different
there.
Trout.
That's when we start
trout.
Using other things.
Power
we,
bait.
We got tricks for that.
Okay, we need power bait and we need corn. We need extra.
You need a softball size power bait. Yeah.
Softball size power
bait. No, don't okay, take that advice at all.
Yeah, no,
do not do that.
Not good advice. That would be hilarious. Just a dope. You got a football.
Somebody will get one on that too.
I'll get an email. I threw
a jar out.
Yeah, you boys are laughing at it, but I got a 48x32 on garlic scent power bait.
Put it straight through with the treble on the back of the power bait box.
Loved it.
Yeah, it worked.
It worked. But now it's conceptually, like you're saying, is it's not that dissimilar where they're going to use either the current to hold them down behind a rock, because if you look at the morphology of muskie's head, and I think I've mentioned it in the past, but it doesn't matter. It's a slope. It's a scoop to the top of the skull, and that will grab water and shove them down in a river.
They're staged to watch. They stage themselves to watch.
Yeah,
and if they can get out of the current, obviously they don't want to exert calories. They don't want to do anything that they don't have to do until they actually want to.
Right, and it's just that
you need to make it as easy as possible. Picture it as a big trout stream.
Yeah.
Make it as easy as possible for them whenever they do decide to react. If you bring your bait right in front of their face, they're gonna. They don't have a choice.
Yeah, that's what they're there to do. Do you find so? You know, it's for example, say fishing on a lake, right? A non-reservoir, just a lake. You know, typically mm-hmm. at prime time, you'll find that say the muskie in off the rocks or the weed bed in the right covering structure, he's a little bit more active than the deep fish, right? But do you find in the same thought process, do you find that the fish that's in a hole, in a pool, right, is that fish less apt to bite than one you can find that's staged behind a rock in swift current? Like, is the swift water fish more apt to eat because he's staged there?
Will be way more reactionary.
Right.
Because if you bring it by there in that swift current and they're staged behind a rock, like, as you were saying, how they stage themselves to deplete energy.
Right.
They will hit that thing way quicker on a reactionary strike than something that's sitting in an eddy.
Right, because it's coming over there. Period. They go, I've got a millisecond to decide.
Yeah, that's all it is. And they make their decision, and it's usually pretty good if you bring it by their face.
Are you trying to cross the current? Are you trying to go with or against the current? Like, as far
if
as
current's
like,
too high, I will not cross it.
Gotcha.
Baits just don't run right. I cannot present to them correctly. Mm-hmm. I will, if current's high and I have to do that, I will bring it downstream with the current.
With the current. Makes sense. Let it hang.
If you're facing upstream and you're trolling and just keeping your boat straight upstream and just slowly floating down, mm-hmm. I will keep that bait coming with the current.
Yeah.
If there's any serious amount of current.
Right.
And that does work. I mean, that just keeps your stuff not getting fouled up. It just changes it tenfold.
And you just have to...
You're sitting there trying to fight current. You're not. You're fighting the wrong thing.
You're fighting the wrong
thing. You're trying to catch fish. You're not trying to... Like current.
Yeah, and that's the thing is a constant eye, and something you and I talked about on the boat over a few days we're fishing here recently, which is focus. The boat control, yes, is extremely important. The boat control needs to be your platform for proper presentation. And
absolutely.
The whole focus is on, am I negatively or positively impacting how this bait is running? And when you add in river current, it's the dichotomy, the importance of this is so much more. It's
a little bit different ballgame.
So moving on from that, you know, we're getting into this. It's supposed to be cold. Apparently it's not. You're a hunter as well. You're talking about the rut's not even happening with deer and whatnot. And we're a little bit behind here.
Barely.
It should be a bloodbath on the interstates right now. It should be just deer everywhere.
It's picking up. I did see a couple more deer than I did see coming down, but it was only little things. we're still waiting on that change.
Yeah, you're gearing up. Pennsylvania's one of those places where you can target year-round.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep. You know, with that, when's going to be the prime time for somebody to get with you there? When you're like, okay, we're going to get in front of some serious fish, and this is going to be
as soon as we get rain. Rain in the river.
Yeah,
that's and then true. it's game over.
It's game
I already
over.
Know where they're at. I mean, it's money.
Get it lined up.
And that's when we start getting into them smaller rubbers and whatnot, and like top loading the Medusa. I'll just throw that one out there to help some people.
Yeah, and that's
that helps.
That's helpful. You know, change the
Bulldogs just seem to not work as well. That top loading the Medusa and getting it down there in their face, so you're not hanging up every other cast. That can definitely do some wonders.
Yeah, get down.
I'll just toss that one out there for everybody.
Well, Cody, how what's the best way? You care if I give out your phone number if people get a hold of you? They ain't going on a trip.
No, that's fine.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I mean, Cody's a great guy.
Text or call, preferably call. If I don't answer, just let a voicemail. I'll get back to you.
It is 717-585-9359. Again, the number to call for Cody Nunkle in Central PA is 717-585-9359. Long distance charges may apply.
We keep it civil around here. We keep it civil.
No, it's too cool, man. Well, it's a cool opportunity. I mean, I know a lot of people are, you know, always thinking about rivers, and I know you're a heck of a river angler, man. It'd be a cool trip for somebody. We'll check in on you. Definitely, it's a course of the winter here, and it's a great resource to have another little region covered there. So we'll check in, man. Thanks for being on the show, bud.
Sounds good. Appreciate you. You take care.
What do you think, Jay Bird? You geared up? You think in shallow water now? That guy knows
his
stuff.
Awesome.
Yeah, man. You're
very
you're,
cool.
You're a river dude yourself, and a lot of the...
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, what do you do?
Yeah, I love it.
I thought sometimes your license plate says River Dude. It's a little, it's a brain. How would RVD, like, dude.
Yeah, yeah, but there's not enough room on a normal plate, so it's right. all like different, you know, right. like symbols in there.
River dude, four. Yep.
So, like, two people get it. The rest right. are like, what does that mean?
And you've told them both. It's River dude. Yeah. Man, I'm just old river dude. Yeah. Always will be, always has been. Now, you know, it's interesting to hear about other things, Jay. And, you know,
yeah.
obviously you're going from there. And speaking about other things, if we're doing it, might as well, let's just find out the lay of the land here. I'm mm-hmm. going to call Freddie.
Let's do it.
What do you think?
Absolutely.
Well, what would fall be like without bothering Freddie? Freddie, how goes it, my friend?
It's going good.
Man,
been catching some fish.
Still fishing, isn't it crazy?
It is. For November 17th, absolutely.
You know, I talked to Krieger, talked to my buddy in PA this week, and it's bizarre, you know, everybody, but you're able to capitalize. Man, how's the bite been?
It's been fairly good. I mean, having opportunities, I don't know, out of my last four trips, I've had opportunities, multiple opportunities in each trip.
Nice.
Put fish in the boat every trip.
That's all you can do.
Out of the last four guide trips.
Can't ask for more than that. I asked Krieger this earlier. Well, he'll be later on the show, but I talked to him before I called you. But how late are you going to go? What's your thought?
Well, my boat's not put away yet.
Right.
It just depends on weather, and, you know, I mean, I'm gonna leave my boat out till I can't put it in somewhere. You know?
Just be done
when everything froze over.
Are you fishing? What's your game plan right now? Are you fishing big water, small water? What's kind of the thought of, like, okay, you're trying to get some of these mid November going into late November. Muskies, is it big water, clear water? What's kind of working for you?
It's kind of been tannic water for me. I don't know. My theory is, from some of the people that I've learned some things, about mm-hmm. muskie fishing, you know, don't leave fish to find fish. So,
right.
In all honesty, I've been kind of fishing the same lake the last four times. I mean, because all of the clients that I've had, they don't care. Big or small, they like them all. So
how can you can't
that's
go
what right. my client said the other day.
Big or small, you like them all. Yeah, you can't go wrong there. And, you know, it's if you know, I know you're getting in front of some good ones. Now, you called me the other day, and you had a bizarre catch. What's going on?
So I was with my two clients that I fished with for 2 days.
Uh-huh.
And we were halfway through the day, and we fished this one bay. We'll call it Johnson Bay. We come out of Johnson Bay,
uh-huh.
and all of a sudden, my client's like, "Look at that bobber right there!" I'm like, "Oh yeah, yeah,
it's a bobber.
It's a big bobber
right.
floating around in the middle of the lake."
Right.
And all of a sudden, I start driving towards it, and it starts going down. I'm like, "What the heck?" I'm like, "Well, there's a fish on it, you know. No one else on the lake all day,
right?"
So it's like, "What the heck?"
Yeah.
So we get up to it, and here, someone's line snapped, and the bobber was still attached. And I would assume that the fish probably just buried down and went to the bottom when uh-huh. they lost the fish. When those people lost the fish,
uh-huh.
All of a sudden here, there's like a 37, 38-inch muskie on the end of it on a sucker rig.
That's the-
and I it was kind of crazy. I mean, I'm young in the guiding industry and or world.
I haven't seen it.
It was quite bizarre. I mean, I called every person I know, and I've come across some people that have seen it,
uh-huh.
but they've never actually caught up to the fish.
And got them.
And got him off, and he swam away. So let's keep our fingers crossed that he's okay. I got the sucker rig out of his mouth.
Is it a catch? And, I mean, that's the question. It's funny. It's like, you go,
I'm not going to catch.
I know.
But they were looking. The muskie guys were looking down on me, because later that day, we had been blanked the first part of the day, and then later that day, my client caught a 40-incher on a Kraken.
Nice.
With, with a walleye grub tail.
Oh, he's throwing the grub?
We had the grub.
Ripping, or what was he doing?
Letting it hit bottom, making contact, because a lot of fish seem to be on the bottom.
Right.
Making contact and popping it up. Snapping it.
Nice. Tubish or rippish? Was he like sideways or up and down?
Up and down.
Very nice. And that big tail, I mean, on the grub kind of style,
it throws so much water.
Throws a ton of water.
I'll
be honest with you. I've been fishing and, you know, collar. It's not a collar thing, but I love that walleye. It's obviously, I painted it. Of course, I like it, but it's kind of my fave. And I've been doing the grub tail pretty similar and just like pop and just letting it. Just let it hang extra hang, because it grabs a lot of water, and it just is like a huge visual, you know. I'm with you. That's cool, man. That's funny about that. At least you got that fish saved. That's cool.
You know. And then we were blessed a little bit later, and we got a 42 and a half inch muskie for a man on a sucker.
Hey,
so that was a good day.
What size sucker you fishing?
I like running the 12 to 14 inchers.
Yeah.
You know,
go big or go
monstrous.
Home.
I mean, some of the ones we got inside the shop are, 16 to 20.
You could ride them.
For crying out loud, I could pickle them.
Yeah, ride them to work. I know. Uh-huh. Well, that's the thing. I've talked about on the show before. Guys will come in, you got any 24 inches or bigger? And you're like, no. Why? What? Yeah, they're going over to Wildcat with a 24 inch sucker, you know. The last time I had one of those, Fred, it was like, it had me I wouldn't say he's 24, I'd say he's probably like 20, you know, 18 sure. to 20, just a big old beefy son of a gun. It's like, out of the corner of my eye, the rod's moving so much I just can't pay attention to anything else, because he's just going bananas. You're like, is there a fish there? No, it's just the sucker. If you get skunked with a sucker that big, you can just let the clients fight the sucker in. You know what I'm saying?
Put
a 200 feet of line out there and let the client fight the sucker. Oh, you got one. Looky there. What kind of staging are you seeing? You said you saw some fish on bottom. Is that deep? Well, I know deep's relative, but are we talking
probably like 20 feet of water? 17, really? 18 is where I got my boat positioned. And I still got them kind of catching in, because the Cisco still haven't fully spawned yet. And the white, you know, I wasn't fishing a lake that has whitefish in it. So,
right.
The Cisco still haven't fully spawned. They're starting to you can start seeing them sliding up. The lake I was on had Cisco in it, but you can see them starting to slide up, but they're not quite there yet.
Yeah, that's kind of wacky. I mean, when they do, though, watch out, boys. There's going to be some big fish caught. You know, this late in the year, and they've got, you know, it's not hammered down with ice or anything of that nature. So, you know, the Kraken, did you get, what else are you throwing, like any bulldogs, any Medusas, or is it just pretty much Kraken?
I was throwing Medusas. I was throwing toothy tough assault eels. And the Kraken, I mean, I kind of have a theory, like, I mean, if you catch a fish on something, why change what you're doing?
Yeah,
I mean,
he didn't go down there and tell his buddies. I just didn't know on the rubber front. Like, when it comes to Medusa, what size? Like, the standard Medusa, are you going, like...
The regular size or mid? I mean, if I have... It just depends on the client.
Right. Well, true. Good point,
you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I want them to last all day. My true theory is, if that fish is hungry, it's going to eat whatever you put in front of its face if it's hungry. And it doesn't matter if it's a mid Medusa, a regular Medusa, a husky. I mean, if they're hungry.
And I think Wisconsin, you know, a lot of times on these bodies of water where, you know, every body of water up there has its giant. You know, there's
absolutely,
you know, there's definitely some 4-footers and 50s and 51s and 52s lurking around. But I think sometimes if a guy, you can swing for the fences with the mega monster Medusa, but I think if that fish is active and he wants a jerk bait, you're going to be fine with that mid or standard.
You know, that's my theory.
Yeah, I typically try to save the big boy toys for Canada, you know, and I was talking last week on the show about my 2-pounder I have hanging here that it just scares me now. You know, yep. You go, I don't want to throw that any. Heck, the clients don't want to throw it, much less me.
Exactly. I mean, you know, the client I had, you know, I had a 73-year-old man and then a 50-year-old man. So yeah. I, you know, couldn't really foresee it. You know, it just was kind of what it is, you know.
Yeah, you can't, they don't last long when you got them throwing freaking pounders.
Nope.
You know,
nope.
And there's a time and a place. And I know the Minnesota guys love those, and there's a reason for it. So, well, let me ask you this, and I'll let you go here. But, you know, are with your game plan right now, is it, you think it's going to change at all? Or, like, is things, obviously, they're going to have to cool off at a certain point. But, you know, do you think for the next couple weeks, does it seem like it's going to be that cracking rubber, you know, live bait combo? I mean, because it doesn't look like there's any major change. You think that still play for a few more weeks?
I would think so. I mean, from what I saw going into the extended forecast, I would think it's going to be the same, yeah. You know. Just, I mean, unless if something drastic happens, I mean, you know, they're still talking, you know, 35 for highs up here and going, you know, 38, 40 degrees in the next week and a half, 2 weeks. I was just looking at the extended forecast while I was at the shop.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's still right around 40 degrees. So, we're not losing a whole lot of water temp.
No.
I mean,
you can't, if it's 35, it ain't freezing.
It's not.
It got to get down. Well, let me ask you this. Have you been hitting any multi-species?
No, I have not. I've thrown in the towel on that for the season.
I just didn't know, just from a walleye staging thing, like what are crappies vertical right now everywhere? It's like,
yeah, I would think that, I mean, there's still plenty of fish to be caught, you know, crappies and walleyes and that. It's just I have not. I would say
you're dialed on muskies right now. Yeah.
Right. For the walleyes, I'm saying they're going to be deep, and you know, you still get them, but you know, you're still probably looking at, you know, 50 degree water temps for a couple of the lakes, you know, or upper 40s, I should say, for a couple of the bigger lakes, you know.
Yeah,
I would go.
One more question then. So if the walleyes are staged deep and you're throwing, you're saying you're positioned 20, 18 feet and casting in. What do you think the forage is that they're hunting down on those edges?
I'm thinking they're seeing, you know, some walleyes that are on the outside edges and
moving up like the
teens. I was looking at live scope and you could see stuff, you know, on the bottom, like, oh, that looks like walleyes right there to me, you know, and or perch.
Okay.
And like I said, some of the Ciscos are kind of sliding up, but they're still, you know.
Right. It's not the Cisco spawn craziness yet. So.
Right.
I hear you, man. Well, you know, I've said it a billion times on here. It's like a broken record about being an odd year, a different kind of ball game. But sounds like you're capitalizing on it. Freddie, guys, if you need something from the shop or a trip, call Freddie. He'll walk you through it. So he's the hardest working man in the muskie business. I think Freddie will run a full day guide trip and then work a full day shift. Do you ever sleep, Freddie? Have you ever slept before? Is that something you just can't
very, get? Very seldomly. Very seldomly this time of year.
He's running and gunning, man. Well, guys, you could get out there still. I mean, there's still time, especially you got time coming around Thanksgiving. Any of the guys on here put you on a fish, but fantastic, Freddie. Give him a shout if you have a question about baits. One of my favorite people to talk to at the shop. Freddie, I'll gab at you soon, brother.
Thanks, Steven. Right, bye.
That's some wild, wacky, and wonderful stuff, Jay.
Great stories on the water.
On the water.
The man, the myth, and the legend.
The Palermo.
Yes, it's not just pizza.
It's Palermo. He is.
It's Musky Rescue.
Musky Rescue. Yeah, now I was just giving him hell there at the end about call the shop. But just bother Freddie. Like, Freddie, I can't make up my mind between these two different split shots. Every question, just call and ask for Freddie. It's a hotline at this point, isn't it, Jay? Freddie knows. Freddie, folks, call the shop. Freddie knows all. Just asking.
He's the heartbeat of the shop. He really is.
He is the heartbeat of America. Now, he's a great angler, man. He's been kicking butt and taking names. He's a grinder.
Sure
he's,
is.
He's a grinder. Speaking of grinders.
And he's still fishing. That's awesome.
Well, that's the thing. The how I could prim the prim the shook should just be everybody's still fishing up there. Wow. So will it end? Well no.
Really?
Really? Yeah. Oh, you don't say. I'll be. Speaking of I'll be, we got a hold of Krieger. Why not? I already said it with Freddie. We're just gonna pick everybody's brains up there. Let's see what's cooking, baby. What's cooking?
Cool
beans. All right, guys, I've got Josh Krieger, Josh from the Northwoods Fishing Report, all the fun stuff here. You're still fishing somehow. What's going on, man? What are you seeing out there?
Yeah, hey, Steve, how you doing?
Doing good,
Bob. Yeah, it's been a very, very unseasonably warm fall. Mm-hmm. We're talking, you know, here November 15th, the full moon in November, and, you know, almost every year the Ciscos are spawning at that time. And I can tell you right now, I was on some of these Cisco forage lakes, and they're still in 50 to 60 feet tight to the bottom. So we haven't gotten to the Cisco spawn. Water temps are on average right now mid 40s, 46. Mm-hmm. I've seen as warm as 48.
Whoa.
And again, we're talking middle of November.
Yeah, dude.
And I know I was on Bucket's Hobbin here just yesterday, and the water was still green out there.
So, okay. Like algae, like yeah. Algae bloom,
yeah, algae bloom green. Yes.
Really?
Yeah. And now, I mean, it wasn't like super, super dark green or anything. You know, I'm not saying it's like the peak algae mm-hmm. bloom, but yeah, there was still algae bloom green tint in the water.
Right.
And fishing's been super weird. We've had a lot of fish lately that have been coming and looking at our suckers, but not actually willing to eat them. I've actually pulled a couple of them off of the suckers by putting baits in front of them. And yesterday on Bucket's Hobbin, we had about a 43-44 incher follow the bait in with weeds on it.
Well, what's let me ask you this, just because Jay and I have been going back and forth this week, and or not this week, but you know, over the last few weeks, because it's just such a mixed bag, right?
It's so crazy. Variable from lake to lake.
Right. That's what I was gonna ask is like, so if Bucket, or are you saying you're seeing some collar in the water and still some weed? What's the motion in the fish? I mean, like, how are they moving fast, moving slow? I mean, what are you seeing?
So it's been weird. Now, like last weekend, I was out on Bucket's Hobbin again. I've been out there a little bit here recently because the fish out there are acting like they normally do this time of the year, at least as far as where they're sitting.
Like,
you know, they're not buried. Right. They're on the steep shorelines.
Right.
A lot of these other lakes I'm going to, the fish aren't even necessarily there. Like the Cisco Forage lakes, they're out in the open water still. And some of these shallower lakes, you know, they're still buried in the shallow weeds. It's absolutely insane. So
it feels like we stalled it. I mean, at least down here, it's like we stalled the last week of September, and it's just continuing the last week of September. You know what I'm saying? Like there, it's like unchanging, unwavering. I mean, when's the last major shift in water temperature? You hit that 55 mark and go boom. Like has it been stagnated in those mid 40s for a while, or is it just gradual?
Oh, yeah. No, it's been a while here where we've been anywhere from like 45 to 50 for probably almost the last month now. Mm-hmm. I'd be willing to bet, where you know, you saw some of the weeds start to die, you saw the algae bloom come in, you know, turnover took place, and now literally for like a month some of these lakes are still green. You know, and we're still, don't get me wrong, like yesterday the majority of the weeds on Bucket's Hobbin we had, you know, been catching were dead or dying, but you know, we did still occasionally run into some fairly green cabbage weeds here and there.
And explain for a second, because you got a lot of people here, and you know that system for people that have never been to Bucket's Hobbin and they're not Northwoods fishermen. Explain that lake and why that's so. Explain what it should be. You know, explain the lake a little bit and what it should be versus what you're seeing, so people that haven't experienced that might get a little bit more knowledge from it.
So Yeah, Buckethaven's not a huge lake. It's actually technically like two lakes connected. There's upper and lower. Lower is smaller and much shallower. I don't spend a whole lot of time out there, especially this time of the year. Mm-hmm. I spend most of my time on upper Buckethaven, the bigger, deeper lake of the two. All said and done, I'm pretty sure the two lakes are less than 1,000 acres combined. Yeah. So you're not talking big water, but right. you know, you have 50, 60 foot deep water and you do have some Ciscos out there. So I have had success before, you know, fishing some of the Cisco forage fish out there in the past. And like I said, I haven't even been bothering with that because they've been so deep and tight to the bottom. It's tough to target a fish, you know, 50 feet down.
Yeah. What's the, what's the magic temp there in the North Woods or say a system like Buckethaven or maybe like, does Kentucky have a, Kentucky doesn't have Ciscos, does it?
No, Ciscos, no.
I'm trying to think of another Cisco.
Big Sand, and Long, both in Phelps, North and South Twin.
Frickin', what's that one up towards Manny Chain, Presque Isle?
Well, Manny Chain has them. Yeah. But, I mean, a lot of your big, deep, clear lakes have them, you know, the whole Lac des Flambeaux chain, all that stuff.
What's the magic indication, take away the graph, what's the water temp where your Ciscos are going to come shallow when you start, like you see it on your graph, you go, I need to pay attention where the Ciscos are staged because they should be shallow.
So I'll give everyone a little piece of advice that not necessarily a lot of people talk about. Typically your Ciscos spawn on western shores of the lake. Huh. It's not always, but normally the biggest concentration of spawning Ciscos tend to be on the western shorelines of lakes. So I would first start by checking there. Mm-hmm. It's always steep shorelines. Typically, it's adjacent to the basin where the deepest water is in the lake. So when I'm looking at fishing Ciscos, I want to see these fish in the middle of the day because when they're spawning, typically they spawn at night. And like I said, normally it's the full moon in November. And they'll move up to 2 feet of water in rock bars. So obviously you can catch very big fish out of shallow waters at these times. And so during the day, normally I will have the boat in like 20 to 30 feet of water. And that's where I'm looking for the Ciscos a little bit higher in the water column.
Like, are they staged to the bottom at that point? Are they staged to make the move in?
Staged. Yeah, they're moving. So they're normally going to be sitting out deeper. They move to like 20, 30 feet during the day where they're staging, quote unquote, right. and then they move up even shallower at night and then back out during the day.
Right.
So I'm looking for when they're in 20 to 30 feet. Typically, you start to see that when the water temps are like 42, you know, and like up until ice out, essentially, or ice in, I should say.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it's been really weird. Buckethaven does have some Ciscos out there, but what I really like about it is there's a lot of really steep breaking shorelines, which is typical for fall. I mean, that is no brainer fishing those kind of shorelines, and we're casting, you know, dead weed edges where you're dropping, you know, the boat's in 20 feet of water or so.
Right.
A lot of the fish were either contacting out of the dying weeds or right off the break, or the ones that we're contacting out of the open water right now seem to be coming right off the bottom. I had a sucker out a couple days ago. It was about 4 feet off the bottom. I literally said, you know what? I'm going to drop that down. So it's about a foot off the bottom. And I'm not kidding you. I dropped it down. I went back to the front of the boat watching down panoptics, and a fish came up on it like instantly. Didn't eat it. You know, that's been the name of the game here recently. Eating.
But what do you have to do to get to eat at least what's happening with you? Like, how are you, what conversions, what are you having to do to convert right now?
The last fish we got to eat, Steve, came on the figure eight, and it ate on about the 12th turn of the figure eight, and it actually fired up when my buddy sped up. November.
Yeah.
You know, that's like a September fish going around the figure eight a dozen times and firing up when you're going faster.
Yeah. You know, that's nothing not makes sense. No.
No. It's been weird.
It's funny. I was talking in the boat the other day with a client. He's like, you know, he's from upper Midwest. He's not quite Wisconsin, but Illinois guy, right?
Yeah.
He's like, you know, it's been weird. He said, hopefully winter, or excuse me, I apologize. I misquote. I said, you know, it's been weird. Hopefully the winter will straighten out. And it was kind of dumb on my behalf because he went, Well, the whole year's been weird. I bet winter's weird too. And I went, you're right. You know, it's like yeah, that wishful thinking, like it's going to straighten out. Whereas, you know, I've been waiting in week after week, probably about 3 weeks now on the show. We keep talking about this and, you know, some of the adjustments you can make. And I guess for everybody I'm talking to across the board, it's just
right.
There's an opportunity to get in front of a big fish, but it's not that typical. You're not busting ice. You don't have a spud bar out there, and they're acting different because this is kind of, I won't say uncharted territory, but not something we're often handed for that bite up there.
Well, I mean, I definitely talked about that here this last week. I said, you know, I mean, I can look back at my logbook, but I don't have a whole lot of information on, you know, 48 degree water temps in the middle of November. It just doesn't happen very often. So, yeah, it is something we don't see very often.
Dude, I was, I've been hitting a bunch of different bodies of water. I went to a small little body of water in Tennessee. 63 the other day, Josh. I'm like, what? I mean, it's
that's just wild.
I don't even know. I don't even understand how it's still. I was freezing to death. It was a cold day. I'm sitting here going, how hot was it 2 days ago? And I was like 70. I hadn't been over to that spot in a minute. I was like, God, I was just, you know, and it,
I mean, we're talking mid November. We have not had a solid day where it's been below freezing all day.
When, and I keep pestering Jay and, you know, everybody, because kind of a lot of people are going, well, how much longer is it going to be open up there? I mean, you know, I know a few people have put their boats away. I mean, when are you thinking about hanging it up? I mean, are you just going to keep grinding until? Because I just think the opportunity is huge. I mean,
I'm still going out fishing, especially, you know, it's during some of those prime conditions. I mean, I was out all weekend here around the full moon. You know, and stuff like that. So I'm still going out, especially in those prime conditions, you know, but when it's really, really brutal out there blowing 20 miles an hour and 45 degrees, you know, it's tough after a long, excuse me, after a long season and having fished quite a bit and caught, you know, having caught fish, it's tough to motivate yourself to go out there and be miserable.
I'm not that mad at them anymore. You know, it's
right.
Like,
misery loves company.
Yeah, that's guiding. Now you're like, whatever. You know, you just
right. You know, I could get some stuff done around the house today. Right. You know, it's looking a little miserable out there.
I know. It's like today kind of ended up being one of those days for me. I was like, well, I need to grease my wheel hubs. We ended up just doing a halfy. You know, the guy got a fish when we were done for the day, and I'm like, well,
yeah, there you go. I just called Northern Edge. I'm taking my boat in for the second 100-hour oil change of the year.
Right.
And they were amazed that I hit 100 hours in a year back in July.
Oh, come on. These are rookie numbers.
I know. He's like, man, people are lucky to put 50 hours on their boat in a season. Yeah. I'm like, well, you know, I'm not up here just on weekends. Yeah. But yeah, he's like, oh, do you want me to winterize it? And I'm like,
not yet.
Well, first off, I winterize it myself, so no, thank you. But second, like, no, I mean,
let me ask you, we still have
open water for a while, you know?
Well,
the Ciscos aren't even spawning yet. Like, that's some of your prime. Best opportunity at some of those big fish.
And what I'm looking at is with the increased water temperature, the oddity of what it is, right?
Yeah.
There's a bunch to be said about length of day and tighter bite windows. And that's, I mean, I've been doing really well, right? I'm unabashedly on some, you know, definitely sunset and definitely like when it happens and it's coming, it's coming fast and furious. But when it happens, they're really moving opposed to like, because it's one of those things. Regardless of where you're at, the temps are a little bit warmer. Water temp, it seems to be. So, you know, you're getting a height. It's like the fish are moving faster, but their bite windows are a little bit more intense, which is like, that's why I keep asking, well, my goodness, if this thing lasts until, say, the beginning of December, you got shorter days, you know, the mornings are falling apart. I mean, I think some people could really rock into some big fish up there. I mean, if you're out
absolutely.
There. I mean, what's the absolute, let's say, because last year, and I hate to even go there, last year there was not enough snow or ice to do anything in the North Woods, right?
Right.
That was just brutal for the trail. The guys,
the tourism. The snowmobiles and all that stuff.
Right,
yeah.
So it was pretty, you know. But I can't recall last year a lot of people going out that way. Am I crazy? Like, when did you hang it up last year?
Realistically, I mean, I probably hung it up sometime in November before Thanksgiving. But realistically, again, with it being as warm as it was, I took out my backup boat in December and January. On the river channels.
And you're
we had open water all winter.
What's the latest you can go? Isn't it Christmas or something, or like
Last Saturday in December for muskies? Yeah,
that's the deal though, man. I mean, if you guys are up there and you're itching, you know, and that's the other thing. I'm going to talk to you about winterizing a boat in a second, because a lot of people, well, I winterize my boat, I can't go. Come on, we'll get there. But
just go find it.
We'll walk you through that in a second. But you know, that opportunity, again, you don't have to be out there all day long. It's a short day anyway, and you go, okay, let's say the major's lining up in the late afternoon, we got sunset right after it, man. 4 or 5 hours is all it's taking to just go boom, you know, and really see some fish.
And we literally had two fish looking at our two suckers at the same time. There was one looking at the bobber sucker and one looking at the downrod sucker.
I know
you're getting these windows where and you have fish literally together. You know, I've seen two fish together a couple times on the electronics here this fall. So, you know, if you do get that window where you're right on both those, I mean, it's possible you catch two good fish in a very, very short window. You know, they're doing what they should be, at least, you know, on Buckatobbin, and they're in that area.
I know you've been throwing krakens. What else are you throwing right now?
Yeah, I'm throwing krakens, some mag dogs, you know, a lot of big rubber. And actually, we've had some success on double D and triple Ds.
Yep.
I've always been a big fan of those.
It's funny. I want to say it's last week or the week before, somebody asked about that, and we did a video for the shop, just like a demo video on them a while ago. And it's something I forget. It's one of these baits you just, everybody always hyped on them a few years ago, and you don't talk about them a bunch, but I always have one out. Are you working them in a rip, twitch, kind of glidey paws, just letting them hang thing?
Yes and no. I mean, I usually am kind of ripping it aggressively and then giving it a long pause and then ripping it aggressively and a long pause. So, I mean, it's not necessarily that I'm working it. And that's part of what I like about the bait is the fact that I can let it sit there, especially the triple D with it. Yeah. I mean, it's not going to really rise. It's just going to sit. And so that allows me to really control my depth. And, you know, the more erratic you're working it, I mean, yeah, you're going to get more reactionary strikes at times. But at this time of the year, I want something that's sitting in their face, moving slow. Yeah. And so that's where those crankbaits really come in handy. And that's why typically, you know, if there's two of us out there, one of us is throwing a deep running crank and the other one's throwing rubber.
Yeah.
Because you're essentially covering two exact opposites. The rubber bait is coming up when you pull it and falling, and the twitch bait is going down when you pull it and rising when you're not. So you're literally covering the two exact opposite things that you're still moving slow and getting down deep enough to where these fish are.
There you go. Well, so you can go to the end of December there, and people talk about winterizing boats. And first, there's a giant caveat here. I am not a boat mechanic, and Josh is not either, but winterizing your boat is not that big of a deal. If you're thinking about it, and people actually, somebody's like, would you guys do a video? I'm never going to do a video on winterizing your boat because I don't want to hear about it if you screw it up.
Well, and it's a little different to every motor, you know, and stuff like that. But
don't read your owner's manual and all that stuff. But I mean, to be honest with you, you know, I've always found that crazy where guys, you know, they take it in and they have to get in line to get it into the shop, and the shop changes the upper and lower. And they, most places fog them up there, Josh. They use it in the fogger?
No. I mean, I worked at a marina for a very long time.
What do they do?
A mechanic, but they had me winterize boats. You're changing the, like on a four stroke, you're changing the engine oil.
Yeah.
And on a two stroke, you're changing the lower unit oil, and you're filling the gas, and you're putting like stable in the gas tank. And that's it. They don't even fog them up here most of the time. You know, IOs get much more difficult, the inboard outboards where you're pulling hoses and stuff, but
nobody wants
one's fishing out of those. We're talking the two stroke, four stroke outboards. They're very, very simple. And as far as summarizing, you know, that was the biggest joke, in my opinion, ever when I worked at the marina.
Start the damn thing.
So if you winterize your boat there with them, you have to pay them to take it out of storage and summerize it. And
what?
Literally summerizing is just starting it and making sure it runs. And if there's something wrong with it, obviously they will let you know, but they're not fixing it for free.
See so it on the bill.
The whole summerization thing that these marinas are charging up here is a complete scam.
Yeah, where you're peeking behind the big boat industry of summerized, dude, I can't believe it's summerized.
Well, and you know, I just talked about, obviously I called Northern Edge. I'm taking my boat in on Tuesday for the 100-hour oil change again. I could totally do that myself. The problem is with this Suzuki I'm running, it takes 8 quarts of oil.
Yes.
And I don't want to, I mean, what am I going to do with 2 gallons of oil? Wait, like, what? I don't want to have to dispose of that. That's I might as well pay the shop for it.
That's, I do the exact same thing, because when I was running Mercs and everything, hell, I think you've been here when I've done it, right? Doing oil changes. Like,
Oh yeah.
I'm sitting there going, dude, what am I going to do? Like, do you just get a 55 gallon drum behind your house for, you know, how it's, same.
And then have someone come pick it up. Or, I don't know, man.
Do what every Josh. Just do what every good red blooded American does. Dump it in. Dump it in the storm sewer.
Just right there you go. Yeah,
we care about fish. This is why we throw empty. I've seen back in the day. You know, it's just
great lawn fertilizer. Yeah,
exactly. Back there was this thing. Oh my God, it's an aside, but I saw it online and. It was somebody pulled up the old thing to do with your engine oil. I can't. It was like just for like, what do we do with old engine oil? It was showing to dig a hole in your yard and just dump it in there. It was from like the 40s. You know, dig a hole and dump. Yeah, great stuff.
Well, I mean, I still like I go around cleaning up. Obviously, I live in the woods, you know, so I'm cleaning up sticks and stuff all the time when it's windy. And I'm still, I've had this house for 4 years. Yeah. I'm still finding random garbage in the backyard. I mean, metal, like all sorts of stuff that was like just half burned, and there's burn piles all over, and it's like, dude, you couldn't have at least put everything in one spot. Like,
welcome to home ownership. So whoever this is an aside, folks, whoever owned my house before I bought it a billion years ago just liked to break glass in the backyard. Josh, that was it.
Apparently, that's great.
Let's go. Hey, it's Tuesday, let's break jars. You know, it's just like I can't tell you how many times I've been in the backyard. Like, I'm sorry. The woes of home ownership. What Steve's
not telling you guys is he may not have remembered dropping a couple bottles out there from the night before, right?
Yeah, right, yeah. You know me, just chucking them against the raging, chucking, throwing them up in there and shooting them.
Yeah, you and Jody sitting around the little fire pit in the backyard. Yeah,
raging. Yeah, I'm real wild, folks. Let me tell you, I'm about as boring as they come. Josh could attest. But
pretty much live the same life. You know, you wake up, you go out on the water all day, you come home, you eat, and you're ready for bed. Record a couple things and
be done. That I'll tell you, that's the thing though about the boat winterizing. Hey, I just encourage guys to do it because, again, it is a big expenditure. They'll charge you a lot of money for them. I think a lot of it, Josh, is like you're not an old guy like I am. I'm not that old yet, but you get your first boat and you're kind of scared of it. You know what I'm saying? You're like,
right.
But as a guide, and the reason I bring this up is as a guide, you can't always get into the marina for an oil change or do all this stuff. You have to do it, right?
Oh, I'll tell you right now. I mean, that's the scariest thing about owning a fiberglass boat and it being a guide. Like, I can't afford to pay a marina to wire up all my electronics. Right. So
you got
to
do it yourself.
I'm forced to now drill into fiberglass.
Right.
You know, and that's about the sketchiest thing. That's the thing I hate doing the most, but yeah.
Yeah, but with the engine, I just encourage guys. There are so many great things available online direct from most of the manufacturers and a lot of good tutorials. If you're not doing your own oil changes and you're paying, I mean, I've seen oil change places for boats where it's like $600.
Yeah.
And when you look at it and you go, it's just like anything. It's like learning to musky fish. Once you're comfortable with it, it's not this big, big, bad ordeal. But when it comes to like outboard maintenance, you know, that first time you change your oil, you're going to be scared crapless the next time you go to start it. But once you get comfortable doing it, you know what I'm saying? The more you do it, the more comfortable you are, opposed to it. You know, now the oil's expensive. And like you said, the Suzuki's take, but A lot of it, though, I mean, if you're running a Merc or running some of the, you know, my God, I used to have that Yamaha two-stroke. I don't think I changed the oil in it in about 8 years, but nonetheless, you could in about 5 minutes. But, yeah, you know, it's just one of those things, man. I don't talk about the boat stuff that terribly much, but when you...
Honestly, I mean, none of it is over-the-top complicated. Like
can
you said,
turn
you can
a screwdriver?
Watch a video.
Yeah.
I mean, even like I put a new water impeller in, I mean, I'm not saying it's fun, but yeah, you watch a YouTube video and I mean, it's pretty much going to teach you everything you need.
I think he was probably still in diapers. I'm out there guiding. I had an old Merc, right?
Yep.
And I had to do the impeller because I didn't have the money to pay anybody else to do it. Right.
Okay. Yep.
I cannot. Like, dude, I screwed it up. It wouldn't shift right. It was so bad. I was out there like you had to line it up, you know, obviously perfectly, right? And you got to get that but on that motor, it didn't like have a spline or something like that to line it up.
Okay, yeah.
So I turned the shaft when I was turning the impeller, and it's like you're not supposed to do that, and something was out of whack. And okay, I remember I just laughing because I remember being out in my yard with muffs on the thing, which you know how loud a two-stroke is with freaking muffs on it.
Yeah. Yep.
I started before sunset, and I'm out there to like 5 in the next morning, and I'm sitting here, and my neighbors are going to kill me because I'm starting this thing at like 3 in the morning, seeing if it's, you know what I'm saying? I'm like,
wow,
good
to go for the day coming right up, yeah.
And it's just like, just out there screamingly loud.
Anyway. Oh, I know. I've run shop vacs at 3 in the morning in my garage, you know, making sure the boat's clean for the day coming
Absolutely.
Up. It's like, oh, I hope my neighbors don't hate me.
They do. They always do.
No, he musky fishes, actually. My neighbor musky fishes and has talked to me about the podcast. So,
Very nice.
I think we're all right.
Yeah, I hear you. But, well, good stuff. I mean, we'll probably check back. The thing is this, we'll check back in. Obviously, Josh will be doing the report, I'm sure, here next spring and in the main part of season. But the thing... For me, it's just kind of, I've said a few times on the podcast over the last few weeks, kind of uncharted territory, which is neat, you know, so if it stays open, we'll get you back on, because I'd love, I mean, if you're targeting skis in December, we need to talk again, because it's such a unique thing.
That's the plan as of right now. I just set it up with, you know, a guy from down south. We're talking about possibly going the weekend after Thanksgiving, so.
There you go.
You know, I can't foresee that we have ice at that point, even if it does get cold. So
you know that it takes a lot to do it. Anyway, well, guys, yeah, we don't hurt your boat. Don't listen to anything we said about it working on. I don't even know what the liability. We don't do anything, right? Don't but you can anyway. We'll grab at you here soon, Josh. All right, be good, brother.
Yeah, sounds good. Later. Thanks, Steve.
What do you think, Jay?
The Krieger speaks.
It seems like across the board, Pennsylvania, I'm seeing it here. Everybody's seeing it. It's that wacky, wonderful stuff. Like I said, just, you know, keep it grinding. You just keep, I've said it again, say it again. The opportunity. I've seen them. The Hogzillas are out there, and it's that one time where you might be, you know, you're sitting there, and Jay, you got a cup of cocoa, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Imagine you're sitting there, you got a cup of cocoa, and you know, and you haven't seen the sun in 3 months. Your mouth tastes like gun bluing. You'll appreciate that extra day of fishing you had. You know,
well, you can't catch them sitting on the couch, Steve. You just can't.
And you're gonna be sitting on that. You northern guys, you're gonna be on the couch soon.
The couch is coming.
It's coming. You better believe it. Sitting there watching Gilmore Girls or whatever it is you do over winter. What do you do, Jay? Football's over. Snow on the ground. Slush. Dirty roadside slush.
There's plenty of that coming, I imagine, although we didn't have any snow last year, so you just never know.
Just dirty roadside minus the slush. And you're sitting there cold and the ice is frozen or lake's frozen over. Oh, I'm horrible. Then you can come down here and it's warm. But no, it's cool. Like I said, I like hearing about the different opportunities of what's cooking, man. So we will get Jay. And we've been bad. Jay, you've been bad. Naughty lad, Jay.
Have I?
You're okay. Naughty lad. We didn't do any Q&A, so we'll have to catch up with that, you naughty, naughty lad.
Plus, we got all that stuff going on next week, so yeah, stuff it'll be a good one.
Oh, yeah. What is going on?
You know?
Black Friday.
Well, it's coming.
And is it next week? It's 7.
Yeah.
Do you, and I know. We'll tease about.
Isn't that something?
No. The passage of time is painful.
It's starting to scare you. It's adding up.
It's adding. The clock's running out, boys. Tick-tock. Tick-tock.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a-coming. Jaybird, say goodnight.
Thanks, everybody.
Later. Night.